Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Called Counterculture. And as we've been going through Matthew, it's been so good. I feel like the whole book of Matthew has been all about Jesus showing us a way that is counterculture. And why did we now name this series Counterculture? Well, we've seen time and time again how the way that Jesus came, his ministry, the message he preached, the way he did things, it was all counterculture. It was all different than the way that culture was currently living. So at that time, it was different than the Jewish customs of that time. But even more so, as we enter this section of Matthew, Jesus is releasing his disciples. So 3 weeks ago when I preached, you guys, I talked to you about this model of Jesus' ministry that we've seen so far. About how first he came into the world and he showed at the beginning of his ministry, he said, I'm going to do it. And he showed people his way. And then he invited his disciples in and he said, okay, now we're going to do it together. And I'm going to show you together how I'm calling what counterculture living looks like. And now we're to the section of Matthew where he's like, now you do it. Now I've shown you, I've told you, and now I'm releasing you to go and continue ministry the way I have shown you. Why is that important? Well, spoiler alert, Jesus leaves the earth at some point. It's coming soon in Matthew. He's not going to be there anymore. And he needed people who were going to take on his mission to, just as we sing during worship, tell the whole world. And so Jesus is inviting, in this passage that we're going to be in today, he's inviting the disciples to continue the work that he started. And that invitation comes with warnings. How many of you guys know that if you choose to live a life that's different than your friends, it's different than the people around you, if you choose to make choices in your life that are different than what everyone else is doing, that sometimes that's hard? Do we know that that's true? That is hard. It's hard to make a choice to live different than the rest of the people around us are living. People are going to have opinions. They're going to say things. They're going to think things. They're going to talk about you. They may even blast you on social media. They may even talk about you to your friend circle. Here in the Western world, by and large, we do not experience the kinds of threats that Jesus is going to be talking about today to the disciples. We do not experience the level of threats that the disciples, he was warning the disciples that they are going to face. However, on a much smaller scale, we can understand that by living a counterculture life, there are consequences that we have to be ready for. Am I right? Okay. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 16. This is our anchor verse for today. Behold, this is Jesus talking. Jesus is saying these words. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my name's sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Woo! The end of that is so good. He's like, don't be anxious. I'm going to be with you. It's not going to be your words. It's going to be my words. All of that is so encouraging that we almost forget the beginning of that that was terrifying. Am I right? If I asked you to give me a word, if I took a survey of every person in this room and I said, tell me one word to represent Jesus, I would get words back. Yours might be unique. But mostly I would get words back that were like love, joy, peace, grace, forgiveness, light. Am I right? Nod your head if I'm right. Yeah. None of those are incorrect. They're spot on. They're exactly who Jesus is. But if I were to take a poll, a survey of the disciples right after Jesus said this to them, if I were to, Jesus gets done saying, he's like, hey, listen, I'm going to send you out. You're going to be like sheeps, and everyone around you is going to be like a wolf. They're going to deliver you over. You're going to be flogged. You're going to be dragged before all these people. It's going to be bad. And then I were to say, okay, come over here, disciples. Tell me one word that explains what it's like to follow Jesus. I don't think they're going to use the same words as you. I think they're going to use words like hard, painful, terrifying, heavy. Maybe they would have said, we're not really sure what it's like to follow Jesus right now. We're still processing the fact that he just said to us that he's sending us out to a herd of wolves. You know, sometimes we say things because it sounds right, right? It sounds in that very moment like the Jesus that we know, like the Jesus that we've experienced. And then it turns out that it's not theologically sound at all. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite things that I used to say this all the time. I would say, Jesus would never put you in a position or a situation that would cause you danger or harm. That sounds nice, doesn't it? That makes me feel good inside. That's rainbows and butterflies. That's the Jesus that I love, right? Well, turns out, the verse we just read together says exactly the opposite of that, right? Jesus is the one talking there, and he says to the disciples, I'm sending you out like sheep to a group of wolves. That sounds like the definition of harm and danger. The fact of the matter is that absolutely Jesus is with you, and he's walking with you, but he never said that. He never said, I'll never ask you to do anything that puts you in harm. He never said, I'm never going to put you in a dangerous position. In fact, to the disciples, he said the very opposite. Guys, the truth of the matter is, following Jesus is hard. Right? This verse that we just read serves as a warning to brace yourself, to get ready. Because this is going to be hard. This journey is going to be hard. I don't ever want to stand up in front of you and pretend like it's something that it's not. I never want you to feel like, man, I thought that I was getting into this thing that was going to be easy and rainbows and everything was going to be perfect and now it's hard and I feel like there was a bait and switch. I never want to be the one to do that to you. Being a light in this world is going to bring trouble. It's going to bring tension. It's going to stir up emotions, both for you and for other people. And there's a few things that you need to do in order to be prepared for that. For some reason, and I'm saying us because myself included, it still surprises us when following Jesus is hard. I hear things all the time. We say things like, I just can't catch a break. Or the enemy just won't leave me alone. Or, man, the spiritual attacks are crazy this week. Yes. Yep. That's what it is. Welcome to following Jesus. Following Jesus is hard. Obedience is hard. Staying away from sin is hard. And I'm sorry, if this sounds like, whoa, Pastor Cherie, this is kind of harsh. I know, but Jesus just said it. Jesus was just a little, he gave a real talk to the disciples. And so I feel like I'm going to give you a real talk this morning. Is that okay? Okay, here's the real talk. The real talk is that after Jesus said these really hard things to the disciples, what they didn't do is they didn't go, oh, no thank you, and walk away. They had the opportunity to. They could have walked away and said, no, Jesus, this is too hard. What you're asking us to do is too painful. I got a family to worry about. I got kids. I've got all these things going on. I can't do what you're asking me to do. They didn't do that. Even with all of the warnings, even with the fear and the pain and the danger, the disciples still felt like it was worth it. Because they had seen the goodness of God. So people, here's what I'm telling you today. I'm telling you that even when it's hard, even when it's painful, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it feels like you just got soccer punched again, even when it feels like, man, I never catch a break, we're not going to give up. Why? Because we have seen the goodness of God. We have experienced the salvation of God and the love of God and the peace of God. We have experienced the forgiveness of God. We've experienced the joy of God. And all of those things are greater than any bad thing that could happen. All of those things that we've experienced about God to be true are far greater than any hard thing that might be thrown at us. And because of that, we can stand and we can say, no, I will keep following Jesus because it is worth it. People gotta know. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. That's why he sent us out on mission and said, hey, go and tell everyone. Make them disciples of me too so that then they can go and tell everyone. People gotta know. They have to know about Jesus. But we can't do it on our own. That's why when Jesus rose from the dead, he instructed his disciples not to do anything until they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24 talks about this. Chapter 24, starting in verse 44. Then he said, when I was with you before, Jesus talking again, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the laws of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then Jesus opened up their eyes so that they could understand the scriptures, and he said this, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. Catch this part. Then, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what?
Power
from heaven. God, Holy Spirit is the one that gives us wisdom and conviction. That verse that passage that we read said, you must be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to walk in wisdom and innocence. Well, how can we walk in innocence? The Bible says that all have sinned, so none of us are innocent. So how do we walk in innocence like this says? The Holy Spirit produces conviction inside of us, and it is the Holy Spirit's conviction that produces innocence. I was talking to somebody this past week that attends Hope City, and we were talking about the radical life change that they've experienced. And they were talking to me about conviction, and that conviction came almost immediately after fully surrendering their life to Jesus. Here's what they said. This is their words. They said, at some point I said, Jesus, it's all yours. My life, my family, my relationships, my job, my house, my kids, you can have it all. And all of a sudden, those words came out of her mouth. And then what followed that was a conviction that rose up inside of her. All of a sudden, the words that they spoke had weight. All of a sudden, they realized that the power of life and death was in their tongue. And the words, the bad language that was coming out of their mouth, all of a sudden didn't taste good. All of a sudden, words would come out of their mouth and they were like, ooh, I don't like the way that sounded. I don't like the way that feels. I don't think I'm going to say that ever again. And then, all of a sudden, God started pointing out areas in their life. And they would be like, ooh, I don't like that. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. Ooh, I don't like that. That's going to change in my life. Their kids all of a sudden started calling them a super Christian. Because they were so much holier than everyone else? No. Because Jesus loved them more than anyone? No. It was because of their yes.
That's good. Come on.
With every ongoing yes that this person gave, God did bigger and bigger things in their life, causing them to want to give him more and more and do more and more for him and tell more and more people about them. They said to me, they said, Cherie, I just have to tell everyone. I can't stop talking about it.
Wow.
Your yes is key. Wisdom and innocence. See the innocence? Did you, in that story, did you hear the innocence that came? Not because they were born with innocence. No, they told me that the F word was coming out of their mouth every other word.
Wow.
Right? But then all of a sudden that F word came out and it was like, oh, I didn't like the way that sounded. I'm not going to say that anymore. Innocence. All of a sudden, the things in their life that they were doing didn't feel right anymore. And they said, I'm not going to do that anymore, innocence. The Holy Spirit produced conviction that led to innocence.
Wow, that's so good.
It wasn't because of who this person was. It was because of the yes. Holy Spirit is able to work with our yes. Holy Spirit is not able to work with our no. Imagine if that day the disciples would have said no. What if they would have said, no, Jesus, this is just too far this time. You've put us in danger long enough, and I'm out. You keep doing you, and I'm going to go back to my family and my safety and everything that is comfortable about life. Right there in that moment, if that would have happened, Holy Spirit would have not been able to empower them any longer. That Holy Spirit cannot empower that no. And in that moment, their ability to move forward would have been halted. In the same way, your yes enables Holy Spirit to empower you for more. And the moment that you say no, that's too far, I can't do it, I'm too scared, that's too much, I can't give it up, enough is enough, Holy Spirit cannot enable you anymore. It shuts off the Holy Spirit's power in your life. We're going to do things a little bit different for the ending of this service, and I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand up across this place. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for a second. And I'm not asking you to close your eyes because anything magic happens when you close your eyes. It's just because y'all are distracting. And I don't want you to distract the person next to you. So we're closing our eyes. And right now it's just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. What's that thing that you've been struggling to say yes to? Whether it's because it just feels too hard, or you don't want to, you're afraid of what will happen if you do. The list could go on. But what is that thing that you feel like Holy Spirit has been tugging on you, asking you to do, asking you to change, asking you to stop doing, and you've been delaying? Maybe nothing's coming to your mind and you need to ask Jesus what that thing is. Go ahead, do it right now. Just say, Jesus, what's the thing? What's the thing you've been asking me to do? Is there anything that I've been avoiding? James wrote a letter to Christians, and his opening sentence sounded like this. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. If you're done avoiding, if you're done delaying, done saying no, and today you want to say yes to that thing that Jesus has been asking of you, it's going to take a bold move. It's going to take you being willing to step outside of your comfort zone to do something that's scary, maybe around your friends, maybe around your family, maybe around your spouse, maybe around whoever. You're going to make a bold move. And why is it important to make bold moves? Because if you won't do it in these four walls, you're for sure not going to do it outside these four walls. If you won't do it in front of all these people that love Jesus, what's going to make you do it in front of a bunch of people that don't love Jesus? Your bold move today is the first bold move that's going to empower you to make bold moves outside of these church walls. So if today you want to say yes, today you want to commit to that thing that Jesus has been asking you to do, I'm going to count to three, and you're going to meet me right up here.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.